Ben Fred Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we'll visit with Ben Fredrickson momentarily. This is always brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. So if you're thinking about surgery, sometimes you got to think, don't have surgery. And that's where Doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf are experts in stem cell regenerative therapy. Doctors from all over the country travel to Chesterfield Valley to learn how they're doing this. We're talking about your own body's stem cells directed to concentrate all of their power into the joints that cause you pain so that you don't have to have surgery. It gets you back in the game much faster than surgery. So instead of being out 6 to 8, maybe a year, 6 to 8 months, maybe a year, you're right back in the game. Think about stem cell regenerative therapy. Think about Blue Tail Medical Group, 636-778-2900, 636-778-2900. Visit them at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Well, Ben, last Friday when we were talking, we were wondering about Adam Wainwright. We were wondering about Yadier Molina. We were wondering, well, we weren't even wondering about Nolan Arenado. And here we are. We've got Adam Wainwright in the fold. We got Nolan Arenado. Let's start with Waino. Waino coming back. It's $5 million, could be $8 million before it's all said and done. It just seemed like this deal made sense. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, I mean, if you asked me the moment where I kind of felt like, oh, this Arenado thing is actually going to happen, I'm going to point back to Adam Wainwright. He did the Zoom call after, you know, the announcement of his 1-year deal, which always made sense. And he was talking about how he thinks his team can compete to win a World Series. And, you know, we're kind of like, what? You know, I mean, we get it. You know, you guys are, you know, the best team in the NL Central, but the NL Central is rotting from the inside out. How could you really say the Cardinals are a World Series hopeful right now? And he actually said, well, that's a good question. And he kind of had this quote, which will probably live in Cardinals lore now, of I got a feeling some good things are coming, or there's some good happening, or, you know, I forget exactly what it was, but and then he got this smile on his face, and it was like, oh, he knows. And you know, by then the Arenado rumors were swirling, and at that point in time Adam Wainwright had been told that unless something falls through, then Nolan Arenado is going to be a Cardinal. So that was the moment I kind of went from, hey man, really encouraging people to believe it when you see it, because we been down this road before watching the Cardinals try to make this deal happen too. I think Adam Wainwright was trying to tell us something. I think he knew. And he knew that Yadier Molina is going to be back. That's just a matter of time. But he also knew there was a bigger splash coming. And sure enough, by the next day, there it was.
It's a very good signing. You got to have as many arms as you can going into, and that's always the theme in any baseball season, but certainly more than ever in 2021. So that was the precursor to the big fish, which is Nolan Arenado. It's a great trade. I don't care how you look at it any which way. I don't like that they gave up Austin Gomber, but hey, if you had to give up Austin Gomber, you had to give up Austin Gomber and some prospects. But oh, by the way, you get $51 million coming back the other way. I'm trying to figure this thing out, Ben. Help me along here. What am I missing? Is there something I'm missing here? It's an unbelievable deal for the St. Louis Cardinals. We use that term unbelievable too much, but this one truly is. It's an unbelievable deal.
I think it has the chance to go down as one of the best sports trades in St. Louis sports history. And I don't say that lightly. I actually wrote a column about this for the Post-Dispatch. I mean, you got to see how everything plays out, right? But at the face, it looks like a massive trade that goes into those ranks. And there are some great ones. If you add up the pluses and minuses in terms of all-time trades that St. Louis sports teams have made, they're a lot more good than bad. The Cardinals themselves have made some great trades to, you know, guys that have become Hall of Famers, guys that have become Cardinals Hall of Famers, champions. The list is long, and everybody listening knows it. But don't forget, Marshall Faulk was traded. You know, Brett Hull, also Ryan O'Reilly. There have been some really great ones. This could be right up there. The best way I can understand it, you know, is the way the Rockies explained it. They knew that Arenado was gone. He wanted out. It wasn't getting better. The relationship between him and the front office had grown toxic. Why the owner didn't fire the GM there to build a bridge back to a future Hall of Famer, I don't know. That would have been a lot smarter, I think, than holding on to the GM. You didn't have people all over the front range buying jerseys of the GM. They wanted to see Nolan Arenado, and they show up at Coors to watch him play baseball. I don't understand why that decision was made in terms of picking sides, but the sides had been picked, and they felt like they needed to get as much as they could before Arenado opted out, and all they got in return was a comp draft pick. Well, the trade that they made, they felt like they got three or four players who would have been comparable to the talent they could have gotten with one comp draft pick if he opted out after next season. So that was the kind of the basis of the deal. It's certainly not sexy, but they felt like they tried to maximize it. The question then would be, why the hell did they give up so much money?
Wow.
And it's simply that I guess they felt like it was the only way they could get it done. And the Cardinals struck a hard bargain. And the other part, too, is it kind of shocking in this is there didn't appear to be that many other teams willing to beat the Cardinals' offer. And I think that speaks kind of where baseball is and the uncertainty around the game right now, both for 2021 and also 2022 with this massive, fight looming about the next collective bargaining agreement. But you and I have talked a lot about, hey, teams that are willing to buy low right now could get a really good value, and this appears to be that. And I don't say buy low in that it was cheap. I mean, this is the biggest contract in Cardinals history, but the lack of competition that the Cardinals, faced in making this blockbuster trade, I think that was an advantage for them, and credit to them for seizing it. I mean, we have said time and time again, at least I have, the Cardinals are a team that should be thinking how to improve long-term here because other teams won't be. And you better believe that we don't know when people will be back in the ballpark, and we don't know what exactly the season length will be, and COVID is still a mystery. There will be people who are ready to go to Cardinals games in large crowds as soon as we can. And we've heard Bill DeWitt say things like, we can expect the fans to be back, we just don't know when. And I'd raise the question of, are they leaning too much on the loyalty of fans without doing enough to reward that loyalty? Well, this rewards that loyalty. And Bill DeWitt made a pretty emphatic statement that as long as he's running the Cardinals, they're going to make moves like this. They're going to try to win. And I think this was a move that was also fueled by the fact that this will be their 10th year without a championship unless they win one this year. And there had been some people who were questioning Bill DeWitt's desire to win championships. It had been going on 10 years. There's a lot of money tied up in Ballpark Village. Was this more of a business operation than a one trying to win championships? Well, I think people have their answer now.
Let's talk about the lineup. Probably Goldschmidt, Arenado, 3 and 4, put them any direction you want, 3 and 4 with either guy. I got Carlson 2, probably DeJong 5. We'll see how the chips fall where they may, if you will. Who do you think benefits the most with the other players in this lineup? What do you think?
I think three guys kind of off the top of my head. Most importantly, Paul Goldschmidt. I not that he struggled last year. I was amazed with what he was able to do despite the fact that every team knew he was the one guy in the lineup they had to be afraid of. He was not getting stuff to hit. It was pretty remarkable what his numbers were doing when you saw how teams were pitching against him. So you won't be able to dodge Paul Goldschmidt now. That's going to help him, I think, in a major way. Number two would be Carlson. He doesn't have to be the cleanup guy. I mean, this guy went from his rookie debut to hitting cleanup in the playoffs, Dan. And it spoke to his ability, but it also spoke to the fact that the Cardinals were searching. That's not really what you want, ideally. So that takes pressure off of him to either be two. Maybe he could lead off. Who knows what Schilte will do, but he has a lot more pressure off of him now, and that will help him perform. And I think the other person, and it helps everybody, but the other person automatically is Paul DeJong. Now he can, he's probably a 5-6 guy on a good team. And not a cleanup guy. Well, now he can be. And I think, if you have him in a less pressurized spot, then he could really pay dividends. I'm with you. I would probably go Goldie 3 and Arenado 4, just based off of where they've hit over the bulk of their careers. And maybe Arenado has a little more power, although we'll see how he hits in Bush. That's a fair question. Maybe you flip-flop those guys. But to me, a really intriguing spot is leadoff. I could see it going a bunch of different ways. You have brought up, and I think it's compelling, that the left-right splits for Fowler and Bader, if they're playing, how that could maybe look at the top. I think Carlson would make sense. I don't hate the idea of Edmund there, but I need his on-base percentage to be better. if his on-base percentage is what it was when he was a rookie, okay. But if it was what it is last season, then you're sacrificing a lot of times where a guy can get on base for some of those power bats coming later. So finally, it looks like the kind of lineup that could, you know, get Yadier Molina down in the lineup a bit. And that's great because he's a clutch hitter. If you got a guy on second with two outs, you can trust Yadier Molina trying to find a way to get that guy in. It's what Schiltz calls that residual effect, where it's going to kind of lift all the bats in the lineup. And if the Cardinals are still looking, and it kind of sounds like they are, according to Mo's comment, maybe they can find another way to lengthen that lineup out a little bit more even.
Dylan Carlson, I think he really benefits maybe the most out of this. And I agree with you on Goldschmidt because now there's protection behind him. But think about two thumpers potentially behind Carlson, who had to bat cleanup. Really, that was the last resort the Cardinals have in San Diego last year because there was no one else there to hit. So you had to put somebody behind Goldschmidt. So it's like, well, all right, Carlson, he's the guy swinging a pretty good bat. Let's go with him. A lot of pressure put on a guy that's a rookie who, by the way, still has rookie status going into this season. I want to see him be more aggressive early in counts, but he's going to have a chance to do it. I think teams will be more aggressive pitching to him because they have to. You don't want to face Goldschmidt. You don't want to face Arenado. So really interesting to see what kind of year he could put together.
And it might end up, you know, people are going to view this probably as a move that I agree with everything you said about Carlson, but also to another guy, Matt Carpenter. So in terms of everyday starts, it hurts Matt Carpenter, right? Because Arenado is going to be your starting third baseman. And I think Edmund is probably starting at second more often than Matt Carpenter, although he can play, he can bounce around a little bit. But it could in some ways help Matt Carpenter because now the Cardinals can pick their spots with him. Now, if they get that DH late, then maybe Carpenter can take a good amount of reps there if he's hitting well, and he might hit well if he doesn't play at all. He has a better chance of hitting better if he doesn't play at all in the infield. You know, people are going to view this as a way that hurts Matt Carpenter. It could end up helping him. He could be a super utility guy. He could be the DH. He could be the Cardinals' best option at a pinch hitter. He could. There are a multitude of roles that he could grab, but other than starting third baseman, that could help him have a really strong season and help this team. And I think, you know, knowing what we know about Carpenter, no one is thrilled with his performance as of late, including himself. But one thing he always has been excellent about is being a selfless teammate, whether it's hitting first or hitting third or playing third or second, whatever. He's down for whatever helps the team, and he really is. You know, that's been very clear over the years, and it's not lip service. He's going to do whatever he feels like his best role is. This completely takes pressure off of him as opposed to him, you know, coming into the year as the starting third baseman. So maybe it increases the chance for him to bounce back. And pressure is the word we keep saying over and over again, whether it's Carlson or Carpenter or anybody. And that's what a guy like this does, is he takes pressure off of everybody as opposed to a Cardinals lineup that was going to be under so much scrutiny entering spring training. And I think that's kind of the thing, is now they can breathe a little bit. Now it's going to be, how can Arenado make them better? It's not how can they squeeze more out of a disappointing lineup. Past two seasons, Dan, Cardinals showed up to the postseason with a lineup that had the lowest regular season slugging percentage of any team in the field. The Cardinals like to say, hey, if any team gets into the postseason and catches a break, it can make a run. Well, think about last year in San Diego. They did catch a break. Clevinger not pitching, faced a bullpen game in the deciding game, and they couldn't get it done. Their lineup was not good enough. This lineup is miles ahead of more competitive of where that last season's lineup was.
By the way, when I ask who benefits the most, I think maybe we missed the most obvious people, the pitchers.
Schiltz.
No, Mike Schiltz and the pitchers. Every pitcher on the staff, by the way, just got a lot better. Get a ground ball on the left side, and you're going to be okay.
No doubt. I mean, this guy's defense. We don't talk about it because it's just a given. It is stupid elite. There's a great video. I encourage folks to go check it out. Go to YouTube and just search for Alex Rodriguez and Nolan Arenado. And there's like 15 minutes of them just taking ground balls at third base, talking about fielding. It's kind of inside baseball, but it's really compelling stuff and kind of shows you how his brain works. And what he says in it is two things that jumped out to me. One, he wants the ball hit to him. Anybody who's played Little League knows there's two kinds of players. There's the guy who hopes it gets hit to the other guy, And the guy wants it hit straight to him so he can make a play.
Isn't that the
That's
truth?
Who he is.
Yeah.
There's also another thing that he said that jumped out to me, and it's he practices all of these plays religiously, going back on balls to the outfield, coming in, diving. I mean, everything he does, he practices. And that's why he's so good at it, and that's why he can throw a ball from his knees off a tarp and nearly get a guy out when he makes one of the most impressive catches you'll ever see. He is as dedicated as a player as you're going to find, and I think it really – it's hard, you know, it gets kind of corny sometimes when we talk about what the makeup of a Cardinals player, right? But this guy fits it, and I think that he's going to fit in here. And I know there's a lot of questions about the opt-out and – could the Dodgers come calling? And I get the fear. And look, it doesn't matter what he thinks today. It matters what he thinks in that moment. But I believe him until I see otherwise when he said that he came here to stay here.
He told me that in warmups before games that he takes ground balls on the back portion of the grass at third so that the throws are easier during games. And I said, well, what's the craziest thing you do? Because Ozzie Smith, I used to go to the ballpark early to watch Ozzie take ground balls, and he would go deep in the hole, Ben, and throw without looking to second base. So we remember Ozzie always diving in the hole and maybe sometimes throwing without looking to get the force play at second, just in case it happened. He said, oh, yeah, well, I used to lie on my back, and I still do it, and then get up and throw a lot of times. And I said, oh, that's kind of routine, huh? And he said, well, you never know when it might happen. And sure enough, it happens. So the guy is ridiculous. He's just an unbelievable defender. And if anybody that's listening to this watch Scott Rolen, you're getting Scott Rolen 2.0 and maybe even better. So it's going to be so much fun to watch him and see him play every day. And I'm so excited to watch it because watching good defense in baseball, as much as I enjoy a home run, late innings, dramatic moments like that, seeing pure baseball, good baseball, well-pitched, good defense, that is Cardinal baseball, which Bill DeWitt talked about. Fundamental baseball. That's what Mike Schilt has preached since he took over and cleaned up a lot of things when he took over. Well, you're going to get it. And this guy plays hard. And that's the other thing that ingratiates himself to a fan base that loves to watch that. He plays hard every single game, every single pitch. How do you not like that, right? I mean, that's what we want to see.
I think that I caught some heat for describing him as a blue-collar approach to the game. And
oh,
I don't know. I'm not. Someone will have to explain to me how that's controversial. I wasn't obviously
very controversial.
He's not a blue-collar person. But if you don't think he has a blue-collar approach to the game, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, anybody can have a blue-collar – millionaires can have a blue-collar approach to trading stocks. It's not about the money you make. It's about the work ethic. That's the point of the adjective. I won't give a grammar lesson. But my point was this, is you talk to folks who know this guy, and there's nothing there that's not a direct result of really hard work. He was a pudgy guy growing up. He wasn't all that athletic. He worked himself into better shape. He willed himself into being an elite defender. And, you know, everything he does is a reward for all the work that he's put in. So you're talking about, I mean, how else to put it? I mean, the Cardinals are going to have more than 20 gold gloves on the field when they start the season between catcher, and these are guys who are going to touch the ball almost every play. Your catcher, your first baseman, and your third baseman. I mean, that's pretty sound way to start your games there. There's going to be a point this season where Nolan Arenado makes a play that is at the peak of his playmaking ability and makes a throw that causes Paul Goldschmidt to make a play at his peak ability. And backing up that throw will be Yadier Molina, the only guy on the team who has more gold gloves 9 than Nolan Arenado 8, and Paul Goldschmidt in between him has 3. The National League has been giving out the Platinum Glove for 10 years now. They give one out, one to the best defender period in the National League, one in the best defender period of the American League. It's only been given out 10 times since they started it. Nolan Arenado has 4. Yadier Molina has 4. Only the Cardinals now have 8 of the 10.
It's unbelievable.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, and yeah, the Cardinals fans do appreciate good defense. They do appreciate effort, and, you know, call it whatever people want to mock it, or best fans of baseball, corny, whatever, who cares? The fact is that they do appreciate that. The fact is Arenado, when he was thinking about being a Cardinal, remembered the fact that he got cheered by Cardinals fans when he lays out for balls at Busch Stadium. So there are players who appreciate it, and the Cardinals now have 2 of them that they've acquired in trades that you know, that they were financially sound enough to pull off and risky enough to pull off. And Paul Goldschmidt has been a very good player for this team. I don't want that to get lost here, but he needed some help, and now he has it. And every other hole the Cardinals had, while not filled by Arenado, it looks a little smaller now.
I want to switch gears while we have a few moments. College basketball, in particular, huge game for Mizzou tomorrow. And, of course, we both predicted this would be the game of the SEC of the year, Mizzou, Alabama. You're supposed to laugh at that, Ben. And it's Mizzou and Alabama tomorrow. It's the two best teams right now in the SEC as Mizzou beat Kentucky the other night. Alabama's having a great year. So this turns out to be a very, very big game in the SEC, Mizzou and Alabama. Not football. We're talking basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, just as we predicted, as you said, we were worried Mizzou might overlook its game against Kentucky.
Yeah,
and because it's too worried about Alabama. Yeah, what year is this
exactly?
But Kentucky stinks, and Cal's got some issues with that team. But Nate Oates, remember Nate Oates was the guy
went after
Coach K for trying to shut down the college basketball season, and we can see why now. He was fired up to keep his team on the court because they've been by far the best team in the SEC, a really fun team to watch and a dangerous team for Missouri. Alabama shoots a ton of threes, Dan. They make a ton of threes. They don't like the shot unless it's a three or a layup slash dunk, and they don't really want to mess with anything in between. They're kind of like the Golden State Warriors of college basketball right now. Missouri cannot get into a three-point shooting contest with these guys because it will lose. If it does, it's got to get the ball to Tillman. I don't think Alabama has anybody who can stop Jeremiah Tillman, who is playing right now as not only one of the best centers in the SEC, but the country. He's just been outstanding. So they got to slow this game down a little bit. Missouri needs to hit some threes, but they can't let that be the way they're going to try to win this game, or they'll get outshot. So there's no shame in losing to this team, but if Missouri can knock these guys off, then and they're in, you know, going to be in the driver's seat for an SEC championship, which is what no one thought entering the season. I mean, these guys were picked 10th in the SEC entering the year, and they've certainly defied that. They're going to be an at-large team in the NCAA tournament, but they still have bigger goals, you know, including conference championship, conference tournament championship within their sights, and this game will be a huge factor in that.
SLU is going to have to get some wins, and they're going to have to have the committee look at them and look at the shutdown and look at the amount of time away and understand that this is a very good basketball team. I watched their game the other night. I had one game on Mizzou. I had the other game on SLU at LaSalle. And they're playing hard, but you can see they're just – it's a step off. And it's probably because of the layoff. And Travis Ford even said, hey, my guys are playing hard, but I got to figure out a way that we can get over the hump. It's – I feel for him. I feel for Travis right now because he's got a talented team. What's your thoughts on where SLU is at right now as we head down the home stretch of this college basketball regular season?
Well, you nailed it. And, you know, they do need the committee to be human and see that a team that was playing great basketball went a month between games and didn't come back rip-roaring. Yeah, no kidding. Especially when you had double-digit players test positive for the virus. So, hopefully the committee does take that into account, but the SLU can't leave all of that in the committee's hands. It needs to get back on track here and soon, or else it's going to have to go into the A-10 tournament, you know, needing to create its NCAA tournament fate in that tournament. And they shouldn't be in that position, but, you know, they got dealt up a really cruel break with this COVID stuff. And I absolutely see what you see. The team is playing hard, but they went a month without games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like riding a bike. Their shooting is off. It's down. They just don't have – the screws aren't as tight. And of course they're not going to be. You get into a peak part of your season for a reason. This is really where your college basketball team is supposed to be peaking as we near March. But SLU is trying to pick things back up and get things off the ground floor again. So I've caught a little whiff of some people being frustrated with Ford, and it's like, come on. Like, his most important thing is making sure these guys are healthy to play. He's not trying to figure out the right offensive set as much as he's trying to figure out how much can I practice my guys to keep their energy levels up for games, and if he's even getting any good practices in. You know, some of these teams now are just simply playing games because they can barely practice. So I think some leeway is in need here, but – banking on the tournament selection committee to do the right thing is never a spot you want to put yourself in, especially when you're not a blue blood program. The North Carolinas, the Texases, they get the benefit of the doubt, not the Billikens, not teams like the Billikens. So they're going to need to dig deep here and get it going. They're going to need to start hitting some shots. I don't know that Travis needs to do anything different other than just hope that these guys can get their wind and kind of break through. But we knew it. And I wrote what I wrote when they were headed back for a reason. It wasn't to dull down expectations. It was just to point out that if you think that these guys are going to come back and be the team they were when they last stepped off the court, you're expecting too much. Now, can they be that group? I hope so. But they're going to need to refine their footing here soon.
Yeah, it's reality what you wrote. I'll wrap it up with this. Super Bowl this weekend, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Who do you have?
Well, I can never, ever want Tom Brady to win. So I will take the Chiefs. They're likable. I like Andy Reid a lot. But how about this? How about our guy Andy Hill, Dan?
Absolutely.
I know you know Andy from your days calling Mizzou games. Andy Hill,
great guy.
Was not retained on Eli Drinkwitz's staff. Kind of thought he was going to be, you know, Dave Matter is working on a great story about this for the Post-Dispatch. Kind of thought he was going to be entering the second phase of his career as a non-coach, and all of a sudden he gets a call to go work with the Kansas City Chiefs special team. So I think it'd be pretty great if Andy Hill had a Super Bowl ring. So I'm gonna hope the Chiefs take this one.
Absolutely. This has been presented by Blue Tail Medical Group. Before surgery, think about Blue Tail Medical Group. And we do this every Friday with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Goldenado, my man. It's right here in St. Louis.
Hey, man, I'm excited for Cardinals fans.
I am too.
And I tip my cap to the Cardinals ownership. I banged on them a lot to make a move that these fans deserved, and they did. So, you know, for the folks who are trying to poke holes in Arenado, hey, sit back, enjoy it. You got two of the best players in baseball anchoring your corners, and the team might still do some more things to improve. So maybe folks are taking Mo a little bit more seriously now when he says be patient. But the Cardinals are back on the scene where they belong, and that's good news for everybody.
And a programming note, Fox 2 this weekend, Channel 2 at 10:30 after you're done watching the Super Bowl. Flip over to Channel 2, and I have a half-hour special with Adam Wainwright. I think fans will really, really enjoy that, and I know you're going to enjoy it, Ben, because you're going to tune in. I'm going to make you. So I'll remind you at 10:30 this Sunday at 10:30 on Channel 2, a visit with Adam Wainwright. He's going to be the entire show of Scoops with Danny Mac. I think people will really enjoy it. So looking forward to that.
I got a little teaser of it. Yeah, I'm excited to see more. And it's just great. So I don't think I actually answered your question, the first one you asked me when you said, what does it mean to have him back? It means this team has its most reliable pitcher from last year. It means that these young guys have a great leader. And it means that guys like you and I are fortunate to continue to talk to Adam Wainwright, which is always fun.
Absolutely. He is one of the classiest people we've had in this town, maybe ever. So I think people really enjoy that. 10:30 Channel 2 this Sunday. Have a great weekend, Ben, and always love catching up. Every Friday, we'll do it next week.
Sounds good, brother. Talk soon.